It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Walker Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav. You join us on the back of, well, Sunderland losing to Southampton and then going into the Queen's Park Rangers game. We're going to just have a bit of a chat about all things Sunderland at the minute. Joining us is Chris. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. It's like Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 6 defeats on the bounce. Leaking goals for fun. Mm-hmm. Injuries happening at a rate of knots. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels a little bit like towards the end of last season where everything just went tits up on the injury front. But I don't suspect that we're going to have the same kind of bouncing form as we did last year, unfortunately. But it's a bit of a mess at the minute. I don't know what's going on, if I'm honest. I kind of put a lot of it down to just the clusterfuck of all the different decisions the club have made over the last few months, which have led us to this point. The injuries are obviously playing their part. We've got lots of injuries. We've played some good teams, which you do have to factor in, like, you know, Leicester, Southampton, good teams. We're struggling. We're desperate for something, aren't we? Like a point, 2 points over the next couple of games even. You know, a win out of somewhere would be beautiful. Just anything to try and arrest this slide would be magic at this point, wouldn't it? Because people are looking down the table and seeing how close the relegation zone is, and I don't think we're going down, but the fact we're talking about it tells you just how badly things have gone recently, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, look. I think I might have done it before, but six consecutive league defeats in a row, if we put that into context, we haven't done that since Mick McCarthy did it towards the beginning of the 2005-2006 season. And that's the last time we lost more than five off the bounce. The last time we lost five off the bounce was Sam Allardyce back in 2015. And the run that Mick McCarthy went on then was nine off the bounce. So that's the last time we've done anything like this in terms of consecutive defeats, which puts it into context, really, that how horrific a run it is. And actually, even I was looking at QPR's kind of games and results this season, which we'll get into, but you know, how bad they were at the start of the season. The worst run they had, funnily enough, was six consecutive league defeats. You know, and everyone was talking about how bad they were at the start of the season under Ainsworth, and we're on a similar run. I mean, it is horrendous. I mean, if you think about it like that, it's a once in a decade event almost. That's what you're talking, because you're talking 2005, yeah. 2015, and 2024. So you're talking a once in a decade event where you actually go on a run that's this bad. So you can't get away from it. It is that bad. I mean, I think maybe the position in the league has a part to play, because maybe, you know, in terms of we're not going to get in the playoffs now, and maybe the players are going, oh, well, we're not going to get dragged into it either. So it's kind of, you know, trying to get that motivation back to win a few games. And the frustrating thing is, I mean, we're talking about how horrendous it is, and it is, you know, just described it. But you take the last few games, and you go back to the Norwich game, because I think Swansea just played us off the park and we were awful, and you know, we talked about the kind of the setup there was just all wrong. But you go back to the Norwich game, like you said at the time, Gav, Norwich were there for the taking. Could have gotten easy, could have gotten something at Norwich. Norwich were awful on the day. We should have gotten something. Leicester, I thought we could have gotten something out of the Leicester game after that daft 15 minutes. Yeah. I mean, this daft thing was we just weren't ambitious enough because we had to wait until we were desperate in the last 5 minutes to start chucking the ball up to bloody Patterson in the end, who had to go up and try and actually get us to have a chance. And Southampton got it back to twos each and didn't get anything out of the game. So, yes, it is, you know... It is, we're talking about six off the bounce, but God, if we showed some ambition, we could have easily gotten some points out of those games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I even think in the, you know, the Southampton game when we got it back 2-2, I'm looking at that and thinking, right, why don't we sit in now and try and get a point from this game?
Suicide.
And we went to twos each and we basically put every player bar one or two forward like we were trying to win the game. I didn't understand that at all. It was more of what we've seen in recent weeks, concerning trends in tactics and game plan under Mike Dodds from a very naive coach and a very naive group of players, unfortunately, because they're young. It, you know, you kind of look at it and you think a more experienced lineup may not have managed the game in that way, or a more experienced manager may have kind of been able to take the reins and kind of settle us down a little bit. But we flew forward against a good team and we got tortured for it. And that was the most frustrating thing. I was expecting to get beat. Like I wasn't going into that Southampton game expecting us to get anything. And at 2-0 down, I thought, bloody hell, disaster. We're going to get beat 6 or 7. At times it did feel that bad. And then we got back into it with the 2 goals and it was well deserved at the time. I thought, you know, we took our chances, although Job hadn't played well. He's got that in his locker where he can score goals. Got us back to 2s each, and I'm thinking, right, now you're expecting us to do what teams would do to us if the shoe was on the other foot. Camp in, work hard. You know, if we could get another goal by sitting back for 15 minutes and maybe break, and then fantastic, maybe make a couple of subs and change it up. But we did what you would expect Southampton to do when we bombed on, because they've got the players to do it. We haven't, and I just didn't get it. And it just highlights the naivety of everything at the minute, because a team with its head screwed on and a team with its shit together doesn't do that. Yeah. I think we panicked, if I'm honest, across the board, not just the players, but the coaches, the man on the touchline. I think everybody panicked, maybe not really knowing how to manage that situation.
Yeah, and the problem was, it wasn't just, as you described, it wasn't just the players bombing on. It was just that we completely lost our shape. I mean, everywhere across the pitch, especially the back four and kind of Dan Neil in front of them. But we just kind of, we completely lost our shape. It's like we scored that second goal and we lost our heads. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't just bombing forward. We were leaving gaps. We were out of position. We had two players going for the same ball. It was just bizarre. It was almost like the players completely freaked out at the fact we got back into the game, because they weren't expecting it either. And it was like you said, you said the word panic, and that's how it felt. It felt like the players didn't know how to handle getting back into the game. It's almost like they were so nervous they forgot what their jobs were and didn't know what to do, and it just all fell apart. And Southampton took advantage of it. And, you know, after we got it back into it, there was a kind of a 2-minute period where it was just chaos. Because we were just trying to swarm Southampton for some bizarre reason, instead of taking a breath and just keeping the ball, like frustrating Southampton a little bit. And yeah, it just all went wrong. And like you summed it up perfectly in terms of the players just panicked and completely lost their heads when we got back into it.
Yeah, I wonder what the impact of not having 09 in this game made on that, because I think he's been a miss, to be honest. I like Luke 09 a lot, and I don't think, when you look at the team on paper and you look at talent-wise, I don't think he's the most talented player, but he's one of the players you look at to organise, to keep the players right. He talks a lot, and you do miss that when he's not there. I thought Ballard looked lost without him. I thought Seat looked lost without him. I thought Hume looked lost without him. I just thought the team in general looked lost without Luke 09. In the same way, you could kind of equate it to, not in terms of the goals we've lost, but the way we've lost Jack Clark. I think our important players are missing at the minute. And I'm looking at the starting 11 again here. Patterson in goal, Hjelda, Ballard, Sealed, Hume, Neil, Barr, Rigg, Job, Mundell, Burstow. There's not a lot of character on the pitch there. I'm not looking at that team and seeing lads, because they're young, you know. These are players who are going to maybe develop character with time. And that's a concern going into this next run of games, that we're still going to be without 09. Ballard's injured. Sealed's out for the season and beyond. Apparently he's done his knee. We've not got a lot, have we? I've been trying to work out what we're going to do off the back of all of this. Like, how are we going to get things together and cobble a team together for the QPR game? It's going to be tough. I mean, maybe being at home is going to be a help in that regard, because the lads playing are going to have the home crowd behind them. But you're talking about moving the two fullbacks from the weekend inside into centre half, and then bringing in Pembele, who's been nowhere near. Callum Stiles, who, Jesus, I just don't know what to make of him at all. I don't know. I think everything the Barnsley fans said about him is probably true, in that he's just maybe not up to it. And I just don't know. He might surprise us in the next few weeks, because he's going to get a run of games. But that defence with Patterson behind them, who's playing poor at the minute, it's a worry, isn't it? Like, yes, the quality of opposition is dropping off a little bit, but we're playing teams who are fighting. You know, QPR, they lost to Middlesbrough, but the results have picked up recently. Just taking that next game in isolation off the back of Southampton, it's a different challenge altogether, but it's still, you're looking at it, if you're QPR, they must be licking their lips thinking, this is a great time to play Sunderland.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, look, let's start with the 09 thing. I'm not going to disagree with you. I think, you know, it's clear 09's one of the characters of the team. You know, wears the armband at times. And look, but what I'm not going to overplay it in terms of that Southampton game, because we've had 09 in the other games where we've lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, look, he didn't make a huge kind of contribution in those games where we got beat. So I'm not, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe a 2-2, he might have made a difference, but I don't think we should overplay it, because, like I said, he was involved in the other defeats. Silt, before, during the game, I thought actually first half, he looked really uncomfortable. I thought the ball got, and actually I've been looking forward to him getting a bit of a run in the team, because I think he's got potential. But I just think it was one of those days for him. The ball was getting stuck under his feet. He didn't seem to be able to control it with a touch. He seemed to be out of position a little bit. I don't know whether it was a possibility he was feeling his knee at the beginning of the game. Maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know. But he just didn't look comfortable the whole game. And like you said, because he wasn't comfortable, Ballard was uncomfortable as well. And, you know,
I don't think he's been at the races for a while, if I'm honest. I might have mentioned it a few times on here, and I don't think many people are seeing it, but he looks slow to me. I know he's picked up another injury, and he might be nursing problems too, but it was that Middlesbrough game where I first really noticed it. Now, I don't know whether it's made us look at it more when I watch Ballard, but it looks to me like he's really struggling against the teams who have movement and pace in behind.
Well, he's really suffered because of how much pressure we're under now.
Yeah.
Out kind of the style of play. And this is what I was going to come on to before, that my biggest problem at the minute, and it has been for a while, is that, and obviously, you know, it's like a one manager bringing another one in and then going back to something you were doing before. We've lost all of the identity that we built up over the 18 months before that. Like, we had a clear identity, a clear way of playing. All the players knew where they fit in with that. They kept the ball. We controlled the game. We moved forward where we had players in the final third when we got there. And we had players on the edge of the box. We had players making runs. We were playing little 1-2s. We knew how to get in the opposition's box. You look how many times we ripped teams open last season. We had a clear identity. The players had a clear way of playing. And we've lost that. We've completely lost that. And I'm not just saying we've lost what we had, but now we've got no identity at all. we don't keep the ball on the deck. We don't control the ball at the back where we don't kind of probe teams, you know, down either flank. We don't get it wide and get balls into the box. We don't get a striker in behind. When I watch us play now, I don't know what we do. We don't knock it long. We're not direct. We don't play it short. We don't control possession. We don't do anything now. And that's my biggest problem. Like, we need to get back to what we're about. And whether that's something new, then fine, move to it. Or do we need to get back to what we were doing so well before? But either way, we need to say this is how we play, and we need to fix on a style of play so the players know what they're doing. Because for too many weeks now, the players just don't know, they don't look as if they know what the plan is or how they're supposed to play. I mean, I mentioned that Swansea game early on, where he went to three at the back, and that's absolutely fine if you want to do that, but the players need to know exactly what they're doing, and the players looked absolutely lost, and they did for a couple of weeks before that. And I think the Swansea game was actually a bit of a trigger as well for them to just completely forget how they're supposed to play, because then the next game that goes out the window, and he goes to four at the back, and then we'll go to Southampton, go four at the back, and it's absolutely fine. But if you're solid and the players know exactly what the plan is, but clearly week in and week out they don't. And you know, it was the youngest side again? Did we break that record again or something like that? But anyway, whether we did or we didn't, it was still a young side. I mean, you know, you put Rigg in there. I mean, you're talking about Bellingham, you know, just turned 18, and he still wasn't the youngest centre midfielder that we had. You take that into account, you're talking young lads. They can't just wing it. Like, they've got to have a game plan. That these young lads have got to know what they're supposed to do and what their jobs are. And for too long now, and like you say, you can blame the managerial changes. That's fine, you know, because, you know, it's got to have an effect. But, you know, now we've got, regardless of who it is, there's someone in charge. So if the players don't know what they're doing, he's not doing his job properly.
Mm. He's changed too much for me. It's been...
He's trying to be clever.
Yeah, trying to be too clever. And look, I sympathise with the injuries and suspensions. Like, that's only compounding how difficult it must be. And I totally get that. Like, again, at the weekend, he's going to have to change the team because of injuries and bans and whatever. So, like, I get that that must be difficult. But I said this the other week, just get your defence, like, and this maybe sounds too simple. Like, maybe I am oversimplifying it as opposed to overdoing it, maybe in the way that I think Dodds has in the coaching team. But just get the defenders to defend. Get the full backs, whoever they are, if it's Pembele and Styles, tell them, you get back when we need you to get back, but you support the wide players and you get beyond and you cross the balls into the box and you do your work hard. You ask the two centre-halves to kick it and head it, play it out from the back when we've got the ball, distribute it to Dan Neil. Get the midfield players to hold their position, both in and out of possession. Ask the wingers to create chances for whoever's up front, whoever the spin the wheel on this week and whoever's starting up front. Whoever that is, like, get them to look for him when he's in good positions and cross the ball. Like, am I making it sound too simple? All I'm saying is that's all we need to do. For me, when you've lost six games on the bounce, there's no need to do anything too complicated. And whether the 16-year-old or the 29-year-old, they all know how to do simple football. They've all done it. They've all played that at some point in their careers, whether it's as a young'un or not. And I just think, ask them to work hard, ask them to keep their positions and give them simple tasks to carry out. And if we still get beat, but we look more organised, then I'm sure people will come away and be like, well, fair enough. As maybe we did in the Leicester game. I think the Leicester game is the most organised we've looked out of this mini run. The most organised we've looked. And it all went out the window again at Southampton. So that's what I would be saying to them against QPR. We know they're going to come and they're going to try and bully us. They've got a big lad up front, that Armstrong, who's, I think he's shit, to be honest, but he's He's 6'5". He's a battering ram. He's strong and powerful. He can turn defenders. They're going to try and get him up against Hume because he's going to be the weak link in the middle of that defence in terms physically. He's going to be a bit of a weak link. They're going to get Cher, who's their best player, to get in those little pockets of space behind the fullback and try and create chances and try and score goals. They're going to get balls into the box. They're going to make it hard for us physically. I think that's going to be their game plan. It has to be, because when you look at just how demoralised we are, how young we are, how many injuries we've got, that would be the correct approach to take. So we've got to be ready for that. And I wouldn't be telling them to, you know, when, yes, you're at home and people are going to expect that it'd be decent football. But after the run we've been on, I think people just want to see them working hard. That like, work hard and you'll get your rewards eventually. Because even though we are depleted, we're talented. We've got good players. That still hasn't changed. You know, we've lost Roberts. We've lost Clark. We've lost 09. We've lost Ballard. We've lost Sealed, Serkin, Elise, Huggins, Dak, Evans, Embleton. There's probably more. They were just off the top of my head. But we've got a big injury list at the minute. But yet I'm still looking at a team who played at the weekend and there's still talent there. That doesn't change. So get a bit of belief into them. Stop overcomplicating it in training. Spend this week just getting them back to basics, getting them mentally in the right place. That's the big thing. I think they look shattered mentally. You're looking at Bellingham, who's a good player. We're now in a position where we can't afford to drop him, but like, he's shattered mentally, absolutely done in. And you look at Patterson in goal, shattered mentally.
Yeah.
And constantly swapping and changing strikers is not helping anybody. So this week for me on the training ground has to be just about getting them back in the right place. If we can get anything for, I would take a draw now. Based on the results we've had recently, based on their form, I don't think a draw would be a bad result on Saturday. We just have to stop losing games of football. It would be a platform to move on from. So to me, you're just getting their heads this week. Get them believing in themselves again. And let's see what happens. But if we carry on doing what we've been doing, which to me just seems like a total over-egging of the things that we used to do really well. You know, yeah, we used to be really good at the football side, but we've lost 6 on the bounce. So let's forget about that for 1 week and let's just do things on the basic and just try and get a result. And I doubt that's what's happened. That's my worry. I don't think that's the way they work. I think they're going to try and coach their way out of it.
Yeah. I was trying to rack my brains who Cher was, who plays for QPR, and then I realised he said Cher.
Cher?
Yeah, well, I was thinking fishnets and on battleships and all that sort of stuff.
But the fella who's pending a court appearance in Belgium.
Yeah. you summed up this craziness that's going on in terms of some of the kind of team selections and what we've got going on with the striker situation, with, can you said, like the kind of wheel of fortune, like who's up front at, you know, this week. And I still don't know what Burstow's doing on the training ground or who he's got photos of to deserve a starting 11. I mean,
Mike Dodds with an air deal across the back seat.
Aye, that's it. The old Keith Laird. But yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't know what he's done to kind of deserve that. I mean, when Oshish came on and he's had a couple of cameos recently and looked quite good, and it started to kind of make us think, you know, if you look to last season when we were struggling without a striker to pick from, which is kind of almost the kind of situation we'll find ourselves, even though we've got kind of 3 in the squad, is maybe go with that false 9 again. Because at times we played some football with that and the players kind of adapted to it. Maybe Oshish is that false 9. I mean, we've tried Bellingham, but I really don't want to put Bellingham in that position. But look, and you kind of summed it up a little bit with that midfield. I mean, look, you've got Dan Neil sitting in front of that back four against Southampton. And then you've got Mundell, Bellingham, Rigg and Barr. And however young Rigg is, I mean, the last couple of games when he's been on the pitch, he's looked one of the best players on the pitch in red and white. And
yeah,
Bellingham, he looks, you're right, he looks mentally shattered. But to be fair, talking about kind of having that mental strength to come back from making that horrific mistake for their opening goal to then doing what he did and bending one in the far corner. I mean, that takes some guts, actually, to just give that a go. Because some players would go crawl it back into their shell and they'd pass it 5 yards and they wouldn't do anything, really, for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And for him to do that and curl it in the top corner, it shows like he's got some proper guts. But, you know, Bellingham shows in flashes he's got some real quality. Mundell, I think, is going to be a good signing in the long term. And I think he needs to get going. I'd like to see him really get motoring. Look, and Barr, look, I'm still on the fence about Barr, but in flashes, he shows some real quality where he can beat someone. Now, you've got those five in midfield. Like you said, there's a lot of talent in there. I mean, those lads can all handle a football. They can all keep possession quite easily. And actually, they can, well, I say they can create something. They've got the quality to create something. Whether the problem is whoever's in front of them or the way we're playing or whatever it is, something's not quite working. But the quality's there. Most of those players were there last season. They showed they could do it last year. So, like I said, the quality's there. If we go back to controlling games and keeping the football because we've got the players who can do it, I just think things might click a bit more. But we seem to have tried to get the ball forward a bit too quick this season, where we've gone suddenly to being slightly direct, and we haven't got the players to do that. I certainly haven't got a front man to do that, because every time we've tried to do it, he's just been too isolated. We need to get those players in the final third, and to do that, you need to control the football and control possession. You can't just whip it forward with the players that we've got, because they're all hanging about on the edge of the area, which we said last season was one of our problems. But we had the players to be able to cope with it. So, yes, if you talk about going back to basics, I think that is going back to basics for us and the players we've got. But like you said, I mean, with these three strikers, it's almost like, well, who's he going to try? And then the thing is, what we do is we then base the style of play on who that front man is. You know, if it's Roussin, we seem to have a press. If it's Burstow, I don't know what we'll do. He's just there. If it's Amir, we seem to play it more direct, and we don't look in behind. We just kind of try to play it into his feet, and he drops off, and it doesn't really work. So I think we need to, like I said, I want to see us control possession again, like we did so well last season, because that's how these players know how to play.
I want to see Oshish start. I think he was robbed of a start at Southampton, if I'm honest. Given how well he played when he came on against Leicester, I didn't get that at all. You're looking at it and you're thinking, how has he not got in the team based off what he did? Because he totally changed the game when he came on against Leicester. He was good. You know what I mean? So I want to see him start.
Set pieces as well.
And
he set pieces,
yes,
for quality.
They're huge. I think when you look at how bad they've been recently, and then he came on and he was whipping them into dangerous areas with pace on the ball. There must be something else with the Oshish. I don't know whether it's attitude on the training ground or whatever. I could be wrong. But like on ability alone, he should have played more this season. Mm. We're now nearly just over three quarters of the way through the season. And he's played, how many games has he started? Three, four? Not a lot. And he, on pure ability, and you look at his experience before he signed for Sunderland, over 100 games as a pro. Yes, it was in France, but he's played. It's not like when we signed, you know, Ekwa, for instance, who hadn't kicked the ball for West Ham. This is a lad who's played a lot of football. I just don't get it. There must be something up there for him not to have played as much as he should have. But he's given our problems, and I'm still on the very much, you know, talking about how we need to keep it simple. I wouldn't be against doing what you said and trying the false nine thing, just because I think he would be able to do that, and the players we've got might prefer that. Because it's the way Oshish plays. Like, he's not Ahmad, but he's got that same trait where he goes looking for the ball. Yeah. Like, if it pops up on the left or the right, he's there. He's around. He's buzzing around the ball and he wants it. So it's an option. Even if we play with a striker, I would bring him in. And I'm excited to see Pembele. If he doesn't start, there's something wrong. He's another one where I'm looking and going, bloody hell. I mean, we basically haven't got any defenders. And if he still can't get a game, then he might as well get himself a flight back to Paris, because he's not got no chance at Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Pembele and you're on the bench in the next game, I mean, basically, I'd walk out. I'd say I'm off. See you later.
Aye. But I'm excited. You know, I'm presuming he's going to play. I'm excited to see what he can do, because when I'm on about going back to basics thing, I like fullbacks who get forward and cross the ball. And the limited football I've seen of Pembele, that's basically his game. He's not much of a defender, actually, but he likes to get forward. And I just think it's a big part of our game which has been missing virtually all season, really. Since Sirkin got injured, Sirkin and Huggins, really the only other fullbacks who've demonstrated an ability to get forward. And it's been missing in it. And when you look at the players we've got and the way we play, I just can't understand why we haven't made more of an effort to get him in the team based on the fact we lost Huggins to a bad injury, Sirkin's not being available. You know, we've got three fullbacks at the club who are attacking fullbacks, and he's the only one of them that's fit. So I'm amazed he's not played more. I am excited to see what even just getting him on the pitch and getting him in behind their defence and crossing the ball and seeing what we can do, just changing it up a little bit. I'm actually looking forward to this game more than I probably should be. If we'd recorded this, by the way, on Saturday night, I would not have had this attitude. After sitting on the sort of run we've been on, then, you know, seeing the problems that have occurred through the week, Ballard picking up an injury, Seal picking up an injury, just compounding things, kind of makes you think, well, we've got fuck all to lose now. Let's just go for it, you know? We were out with that bad run where you look at the teams who were coming up and you were dreading the games. I'm not dreading playing QPR. I'm not certainly not saying that they're a poor team or anything, because they've had good form recently. But it's a difficult game. But, you know, given our problems recently and the fact it's a home game, you've got to go out there and just try and get something from the game. You've got to give it your all. Like, get out of this mentality of being just losers and just, I don't know, just have a go. Have a go for once. Because we haven't had a go recently. That's been half the battle. We've started slowly in games. We've invited teams onto us. They've scored goals. And then we've played catch-up. And one of the big things that people have been saying about Dodds is that his teams, like, only kick into life when we go behind. You see the changes and the tweaks and the and what have you. Once we're behind, by which point it's too late. We need to start well. We need to be out of the blocks and we need to be at them. And you know, we're capable of beating QPR, but it's all about how we approach this game mentally, isn't it? Like I keep saying, if we've been moping around all week and if the players are already dreading the rest of the season and want it to finish soon, then they're going to get beat. But if you're bringing a couple of lads who are needing an opportunity to show their worth, and they take it, it could be one of them days where you come away and you're like, we win 2 or 3 nil, and you're like, friggin' hell, everything's looking rosy in the garden again, and we can kind of look forward to the rest of the season and the coming games. So it's all hinging on really how, again, what I said before, how we've approached this from a mental perspective.
Oh, yeah, that's everything. Honestly, I honestly think with this game, I think it's first goal the winner. Because the kind of psychological aspect of it. Because I mean, our home form is just bizarre. I mean, because like we've won 10 at home this season, so only the top six have won more at home. But we're the only side in the division not to have drawn a game at home, and that means that only Millwall, Rotherham, and QPR have lost more at home this season. So there's only three teams who've lost more than us at home this season. Mm. But then again, like I said, there's only the top six who won more. But you know, maybe a bit, you know, be a bit more pragmatic at times and kind of get a point. But you're looking at QPR's form. You know, they've only lost twice in the last 10, and away from home, they've only lost once in the last 5 away from home. So, you know, I just think if we can get at them and get our tails up and get ahead, I can see their heads going down a little bit. But it's the opposite with us at the minute. I just, you know, and I say, you know, we can talk about getting back into it at Southampton. But to be honest, a little bit of that was slightly against the run of play in some senses. Like, we got that goal, but we didn't really look like scoring before then. It just looked like it was all over. And suddenly we got one out of nowhere. So it wasn't as if we were kind of banging on the door or kind of, you know, it was kind of, you know, well-deserved at that point. So, yeah, for me, it's a toss of a coin. It's first goal the winner. And I can't see, you know, and might be wrong here, might be our first draw of the season, but I think there's going to be a winner, and I just think it's going to be first to score.
Yeah, well, I'm going to neglect to try and guess the result for once, because I keep predicting losses and we keep losing, so I'm not going to say what I think. I'm hoping by doing that we might get a result. Maybe me as the Jonah, I don't know. Let's just pray that you eventually get to do a podcast where Sunderland win.
Because it's been... Stick it up your ass. I'm not doing that. I'm going to... But I've been too optimistic the last few weeks, and I wish I wasn't, but I just think we have to. I think one of these weeks, the players have to be up for it enough just to get out of this run, and they're capable of doing it. They've got this. They've got the quality. You know, just come out the blocks, get that first goal, calm everything down, and let's pick up 3 points, because just to calm everything down, we need it.
Yeah, well, you can tell by the big sigh that I'm maybe not feeling it, but we'll see. We'll see. I am a little bit more optimistic than I probably was a few days ago, and that's mad considering we've got no defenders. But I'm kind of banking on the fact that last year when we had no players, we managed to go on a mad run. I saw a table today. We were only 2 points better off at the same point last season.
Really?
Which just seems mad to me. Seems crazy.
Yeah. Wouldn't have thought that.
You never know. We'll see. Anyways, cheers, mate. Cheers for joining us.
No worries.
Hopefully going to be back after...
Good fun.
QPR talking about 3 points or a point even. I would snap your arm off for a point. Cheers, listeners. Thanks for joining us. As always, make sure you check back in the coming days for the next podcast. We'll catch you then.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.